Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody, and everybody looks like they're smiling and having a good time. How many of you, when you sang that last song, how many of you thought about the words? Does your anchor hold on to the solid rock of Jesus? And I tell you what, this message come at the right time when Effie called me Friday morning. I was out in my shed, and I had been picking up a lot of sticks. We got about an acre, and there was a lot of big branches down. And when she called me and asked me to come, I said, yes, I'll be there. And I mean, immediately the Lord put this message on my heart, and especially after last week from the elections. I've had people come to me and say, boy, our state is ruined now. We've got the same government, blah, blah. And I mean, just a lot of negativity occurred with, and it's probably you're going to hear a lot more. And I thought, boy, living in times of uncertainty, there's uncertain things that we cannot handle on our own. But when we turn them over to the Lord Jesus, He can handle anything. And all we have to do in those times is take a step back and put everything at the foot of His throne and then take in His power and His love. Because, you know, when we take on the Lord's power and love, it puts us at a calming. It gives us a reassurance that everything's going to be all right. And I'll honestly say this. As I went through this sermon, it really spoke to my heart because I myself, as a human being, I was not happy with the election. And I'm not going to stand up here and give you political. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give my political views because I won't do that. But I will say what I prayed for didn't happen. And I was aggravated, yes. And I was downhearted. And I went to the Lord. And instead of just being negative, I just took it to the Lord and said, okay, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why my prayers weren't answered, but I don't like the election outcome. I don't like how it looks for our state right now or even for our country. And I just thought, okay, so here I'm going to cut it off. I gave it over to the Lord. And for a few days, I kind of dwelt on everything. And then one day, Janine and I were sitting at home talking about it. And she said, do you know that God puts people in political places or in other offices, and it's not for us to put our eyes on them, but it's to put our eyes on Him, because we can watch God take those people and change situations. And I'll tell you what, that hit me right between the eyes just like a rock out of a slingshot. And I got on my face Friday evening and I prayed to the Lord and I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for my ignorance, for my arrogance, basically. But in Isaiah 41:10, I'd like to ask you to turn there. Isaiah 41:10. And when you get to that scripture, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. But I believe this message this morning is going to speak a lot of volume to our hearts and lives. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this scripture. And God, today we lean on you, Lord, and we depend on you. Father, you have the answers, and you are almighty. And we ask, God, that in our state and in our country, we ask you, God, to take control. This morning, Father, we give up everything to you, Lord. We give you full control and authority, dear God, to move in our nation, to make wrongs right, to change people's hearts and lives, that we can see the lost come to Christ, that we can see people coming back to church, dear God. And Lord, we rest in you today. We rest in your promises that, Father, you will strengthen us and you will lead us and take care of us. And Father, as I go through this message and preach it, I ask God that every word comes straight from you and nothing from my thoughts or my own flesh. We ask it all in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So fear. Fear is one of the enemy's most popular weapons that he uses against us. And fear comes from worry and anxiety. Fear can overwhelm us with a thick shadow of darkness, controlling our every move and decision. There's a lot going on in our world today. War, conflict, persecution, violence, sickness, crime, natural disasters, terrorism, economic issues, unemployment, disease, and death. We fear for our children's future. We fear for our future and our families. We fear for our own safety. And that list goes on and on and on. There are so many things that you and I could worry about, but where does that get us? Absolutely nowhere. The Bible tells us not to worry. We're not to even worry about tomorrow, because the Bible says that today is the day that we are living in, and today's the day that we should be focused on. And instead of worrying, our focus and our thoughts should be, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So when worry tries to come into your party, then you need to go back to God's Word, and you need to start speaking God's Word, and you need to speak it with authority, and you need to tell the enemy that he wasn't invited into your day, and he needs to pack up his worry, he needs to pack up his fear and all the uncertainty, and he needs to pack and move on. And you need to let the devil know who your God is. See, God is great, and God is big enough to take care of everything that we will ever face in this life. That should have been my first thought last week. When I got the election results, my first thought should have been to get on my face and gave it to the Lord and praised Him and thanked Him that He was in control. But you know what? I've been forgiven for that, so I'm not even going to go back to that territory and tread in those ashes again. But I can tell you this, that fear can cause you to stumble in your walk with God. Fear, how many of you have ever gone down a sidewalk where the tree roots pushed up the sidewalk and you trip over a spot where the concrete come up? I've done it so many times. When I go for my runs, if it's a busy street and there's a sidewalk, and I've picked the same sidewalk, and I can't tell you how many times I have tripped over the same section, and finally I got to a point that when I look down the sidewalk and I see that raised spot, I get to it and I slow down and I carefully go around it. So I say that to tell you this. When you're living life and the devil brings up worry to you in your relationship with God, when the devil wants to distort your ways of thinking, that's when you need to approach it carefully, and instead of tripping over what the devil has laid in front of you, you approach it carefully, you give it to God in prayer, and then you ask God to guide you, and God will take you safely over and around what the devil has placed in front of you. The first two words in verse 10 says, fear not. That means don't fear. Do not be afraid. Do not even entertain it, because if you give in to fear, it can take a hold of you and it can literally take a hang on your life and it will drag you down. It will literally, I've heard a lot of other preachers say, it will suck the life right out of you. It will take away your joy. It will take away your peace. Now, I'm going to say this. Some folks may like it. Some folks may not. I can't help that. But when this pandemic thing started, there were so many things going around. They wanted everyone, to wear a mask and be safe. And then there was this group come up and said, well, if you wear a mask, that you're not showing enough faith in God. And that, I believe, was an instrument of fear brought up. I believe God gave us a spirit of discernment to know to do the right thing. So instead of living in that fear, yes, I wore a mask where I went, but it did not decrease my faith in God. I knew that through the pandemic that God would take care of all of my needs. I got a phone call one day, and I was told that I was not to come back to work because of the pandemic, and I stayed at home for about 4.5 to 5 months. My first thought was, golly, well, what am I going to do about a paycheck? I have to work. I've got bills to pay. I've got a wife to support. Got to eat. Got to, pay the heating and cooling bill and all. And so the first thing I did, the devil brought the thought to me, well, this is going to be a ruin for you, boy. You're going to, no work, man. You're going to starve to death. I thought, I sure can't starve. I got to feed that thing. No. But what happened a couple days later, I got a phone call from somebody at work. And they said, you need to call the Illinois Department of Employment Security because we're going to be paying everybody through your time off. And I was like, really? And do you know that I went ahead and prayed and I trusted God. And instead of worrying about the situation, I gave it to Him. And within 2 weeks, I had my first paycheck from work. And the Department of Employment Security also gave me extra money on top of that to help take care of any other needs or necessities. And every 2 weeks, I got my paycheck and I got money from Employment Security. And God took care of every need. I never went hungry. My bills were always paid. And during that time, I praised the Lord. I got to read my Bible a lot more. I got to really study, and I got to have a closer relationship with God. So I took a time of uncertainty, and instead of having fear and worry, I used that time to be productive, to be spiritually productive, to work on my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you something, Brother Milton, during that time, I got to sit and sing to the Lord out of a hymn book. And when I would sing, my heart got so filled with joy. There were tears, not tears of sadness or unhappiness, but tears of joy. Because I had a closeness with the Father. And I decided to put my trust in Him and lean on Him. I didn't let fear come in. Now, I had people come to me with their negative words, with their opinions, what they thought, and I just rebuked it in the name of Jesus. That's what you have to do. You have to rebuke the things that the devil brings before you, rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and you have to refuse to give in to them. I want you to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood before a wicked king. They were going to be cast into a fiery furnace that was heated a lot hotter because the king was furious that they would not bow down to this image he had made. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, instead of saying fearful things, this is what they said. Well, you can cast us into the fiery furnace, and either we're going to be burned up, we're going to go on to be with God, or our God's going to save us, and we're going to be all right. So, in any situation in life, you have to look at that situation and say, okay, I'm not going to let this situation consume me, but I'm going to trust God with it. I'm going to give Him the all because I know that my God will supply every need. I know that God will give me the strength because, see, His love abides with us. God is a God of love. God is a giver of good things. God does not do bad things to you. I want you to know that this morning. God does not do bad things to you. In the midst of bad situations, you start to speak His Word. If we read His Holy Word, and if we start to speak it with authority each and every day, when people come up against us negative, if we speak the Word of God never comes back void. We speak the Word, and it sows a seed of goodness. And God's Word will take root in any situation, and good comes out of it. It may take a little bit of time, but it'll actually happen. I remember many years back, I started witnessing to my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was Catholic, and she didn't want to hear about salvation. So I'm guessing she came from the older school of Catholic. I don't really know what her heart's disposition was. But all I know is I love my mother-in-law, and I know she loved me, but this day that I sat and witnessed to her, she turned her face from me and looked toward the wall, and for many weeks wouldn't speak to me after. And I thought, well, what in the world have I done? And the Lord said, you haven't done anything wrong. She's under conviction. So I chose to love her. I chose to serve her. Even though she wouldn't speak to me, I did good things for my mother-in-law. And over the course of the years, I prayed every day for her salvation. And I kept speaking that she would come to Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And in May of 2019, when she went into bounce back rehab, I talked to a buddy of mine. He's 86 years old and a fine pastor. Spoke to him on the phone and said, would you please go visit my mother-in-law? She needs Jesus. And this was on a Tuesday morning. He said, I will go there tomorrow afternoon before church in the evening, and I'll go see her. And when he walked in Wednesday evening to bounce back, Brother Donnie said he looked over. There was my mother-in-law sitting at a table by herself. He went up to her and said, is your name Miss Phyllis? And she said, yes, it is. And he said, well, I know your son-in-law and your daughter. And she says, oh, okay. And he says, is that all right if we have a talk? And she goes, well, sure. She goes, well, let's go back to my room and let's talk there, be more private and quiet. So he helped her in her wheelchair and pushed her back to the room. And Brother Donnie told me that they sat there and they started talking, and he got to know her, got to kind of be an icebreaker moment. And he said, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to start speaking, he started to witness to her, and then he asked her, wouldn't you like to make that decision? Wouldn't you like to receive Christ? And my mother-in-law's words to him were, yes, I would. And Brother Donnie prayed with my mother-in-law, and she got saved, and her name was added to the Lamb's Book of Life. He called me the next morning, and he cried. He cried tears of joy because she got saved. He watched God work in a mighty mighty way in that woman's life. So when I went to see my mother-in-law, I said, Mom, I always called her Mom. I didn't call her mother-in-law. To me, she was Mom. I said, did something happen to you yesterday evening? And she smiled the biggest smile. And she said, yes, I'm going to heaven now. And on Thanksgiving morning of 2019, as we were by her bedside, she knew that her time of death was at hand. But she wasn't afraid anymore. She was ready to go see Jesus. And as she took her last breath on the face of this earth, she took her first steps into heaven and was completely a brand new person. She was finally perfect. So see, I say that, I give you that testimony because I chose not to give into fear. If you give into fear, it will cripple your life and it will stop you from growing in your walk with God. And if we are Christians that are filled with fear, then we will never be able to accomplish the things God puts before us. We won't be able to get our churches to grow. I was in a church just last Sunday. This church used to hold around 300 people. Now they got 25. And I heard somebody make a comment, well, I just don't think we'll ever grow. And I thought, well, I don't know what God you're serving to say something like that. But you know what? As Christian people, we're supposed to be active in our churches to make them grow. We're not supposed to be satisfied, you know, with just the size of Christ. I mean, I'd be happy with who's coming. But what I'm saying is we're supposed to get out and we're supposed to witness and minister to people. And I've mentioned this before, but there's been many people have come into this church and have visited here because of either the yard sale or Sarah and Laura's store. People that come in up there and need to minister to, and they reached out in love to these people, and they came here. They may have come once or twice or whatever, but they were ministered to because they were shown God's love. And that's why Bosque Dell Church is still going today, because I know that the love of the Lord works here. And I've never said this, but I've talked to a lot of people who know a lot of you here. And I have heard those are good people at that church. They love and care about people. And they say what a blessing it is that they still do the yard sale and they witness to people. That's good stuff to hear. Amen. But we should take who we are, give it to God, and let God increase in our lives. And we need to be the kind of people that we will go up to somebody we don't even know and witness to them and ask them if they know Jesus and invite them to come to church. Mm-hmm. See, people are in the slumps right now with life and everything going on, that people just quit going to church. They don't see any purpose or any reason anymore. And when I was a young boy, everybody went to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it was always filled. We had revival for 7 days. And now revivals might be 2 nights or 3 nights, and that's it. What I'm saying today is get rid of the fear in our lives. And I'm talking to myself as well. Get rid of all the fear. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right. And fear and worry can bring health issues. Did you know that? It can. It can cause heart problems. It can cause nerve problems, mental breakdowns, everything. But when Christ is growing inside of us, we become a fearless warrior. When Christ is alive inside of us, we can do things that we never thought possible. I preached that sermon back here a few months ago about David and Goliath, and I told you David was a little shepherd boy. He had no soldier training. He had never fought in combat, but he goes up before Goliath. This little bitty guy goes up before a guy who's over 10 foot tall and who's clad in armor and carries a big sword. And he says, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to take you down. He's told Goliath, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And with a little bitty rock out of a sling, God slew the giant. David had a faith that was unstoppable. And that's what God wants for us as Christians. Living in these times of uncertainty, we need to have an unshakable faith. When financial problems come up against us, we need to thank God that He has the resources that He will supply those needs. That we can ask in faith and we can believe. I never asked God to make me a rich man because I don't want the world's money. All my riches are laid up for me in heaven. That's my eternal home. These things here will one day be gone away. When I die, everything that I've had, someone else is going to get it, or it's going to be thrown into a dumpster. So why do I want to collect it here? But what I do trust is that I trust that for this day today, that God will get me through any and every situation that I ever come up against. One of the greatest testimonies to me, a few weeks back, I walked into Carbondale Hospital and I went up to ICU and I walked into Bonnie Stearns' room and I saw Fred first in the hallway, and Fred, boy, he just put his arm around me and gave me a hug and he was all smiles. And he talked about how good God was. Here his wife was in ICU, had a brain bleed, and instead of telling me his woes and his worries, he was telling me how good his God is. And then I walked into Bonnie's room, and here she is sitting up in bed with a granddaughter holding this hand, and she is telling me how good God is. She is telling me that God is going to heal her, that God is going to strengthen her, that God is going to deliver her. And I about cried because her faith, it was spreading so much, it hit me. It started to affect people in that room. And people in that room started talking about the goodness of God. And I tell you what, when I prayed with her before I left, we held hands and she gripped my hand so tight. I'd never known a woman to have such a grip. But she gripped my hand and then I gave her a hug and I said, Bonnie, I love you and I know God's going to heal you. I said, you just keep speaking it. And she said, I'm going to. So in her situation, she could have been negative. She could have griped and complained about it. But she chose to boast in the Lord in her time of uncertainty. See, when God tells us to be not dismayed, for He's our God, what God is saying, He's big and mighty enough. He can handle anything. If God created this world and all living things in just 6 days, if He could put the sun and the stars and the moon and everything and give life to us and put everything in order, don't you think He can take care of the little stuff in your life? My grandma used to say, I used to complain about a situation, and my grandma would say, would you quit making a mountain out of a molehill? She said, you know what you do when you come to that molehill? I said, what? And she said, you take your... I used to get cracked up at her because she'd take her foot and just stomp that ground. And she'd say, you stomp that molehill. You don't let it trip you up. Stomp it down flat, and then you keep going. But she said, don't make a mountain out of that molehill. Basically, she told me, quit complaining. Quit being negative. And start treating those people good. Start loving those folks. God says that He will, in His Word, He says, I will strengthen you. What does strengthen mean? Does anybody know what strengthen means? To give you power. To uphold you. To help you stand when you can't stand. You know, so many times in life, we do feel like just giving up. Sometimes we hear a lot of negativity, and we just want to throw our hands up and say, I can't do this. Well, you know what? You can't do it. If you go look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, God. Lean not on your own understanding, which means don't give thought to your ways or how you perceive things. Because if you perceive things by the world's standards, well, that's building your house out on the sand. And when the storms rage, your house is going to be destroyed. But when you build your house on the solid rock, when you have a good solid foundation, the winds and the waves will come up and beat against your house, but your house will stand. If your anchor is holding onto the solid rock, then you've got a good hold and you'll make it through any storm in this life. And God says, yes, I will help you. But you know what you got to do? You got to get yourself out of the way. You have to submit and surrender and give it to His authority and say, God, I trust You. Now, I'll share this last thing with you, and then I'm going to close. When I had gone, I'm not even going to talk about that part of my life, but I'd gone through a bad time in my life. And I'd gone through a divorce. It wasn't my fault. And I had no part of it. I mean, I had no, you know, no reason for it to happen. And I didn't understand why I was going through what I went through, but it hurt me. And I didn't have a whole lot of trust in people because the church I was pastoring didn't stick up behind me. They talked about me. They hurt me. I prayed for them. Yeah, I had some bitter feelings against some folks. But I had to finally give it over to the Lord. And I didn't have a house to live. I was living in the parsonage. I didn't have a house to live in. Once I left my pastor's position, I didn't know what I was going to do. And then the following week, I lost my car because it was given to her. And so I started getting really angry. And I started saying, I don't understand, God, what You're doing to me. Why? Why am I going through this time in my life? I would rather die than have to go through this. And God said, I want you to call your parents, and I want you to go to their home. And that's where I want you to stay for now. And I want you to trust Me. That was the hardest pill I ever had to swallow. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I went home, went back to Mom and Dad's, called my dad. Yeah, Dad said, come on. Dad said, as long as we're here, You've got a place. And you know my mom and dad loved on me during that time when I needed it. When the world turned their back against me, turned their back on me, I felt like my mom and dad loved me through it. They helped me, and I gave it all to the Lord. And I didn't know what was going on. But then I heard Brother T.D. Jakes preach a sermon one day about being refined in the fire. God was taking me out of one aspect of life that I'd been in, and God was preparing me for a whole different journey that I didn't know what laid before me. But finally, I just said, okay, Lord, I trust you. So I spent a couple months with my folks. And then just shortly after, a very good paying job opened up for me. I got my own place. And I moved back out. And the car that I had been given caught fire. Now get this. I'm driving down Interstate 57 going to Marion, and the car caught fire on me. And I was able to drive to Menards, park it in the parking lot, and just went in, called my brother-in-law who owns a record service to come get it. And I said, okay, what now, Lord? And some people I know bought me a car. They bought me a car, very nice Toyota Camry, and I paid them back every dime because that was the arrangement. And I kept that car, and I drove it till 350-some-thousand miles, and I never had to really have a lot of repairs done to it. And then as time went on, God brought me the most beautiful woman and blessed my life with her. And I made her my wife, and in this ministry, she has stood by my side. She is a faithful rock. And I'm telling you all that to say, this guy's been through some tough stuff. This guy's been in some places that he wanted to give up. But instead, I had to give it to the Lord and trust Him. And I've watched God bring me out of some of the roughest situations. And I've watched God bless my life. And every day I thank Him for all that I have. And I am thankful that right now I'm standing in this pulpit getting to share this message with you this morning. And I tell you that because my God is good. He is faithful. That's right, Corinne. He is all the time. He is able. So in these uncertain times, I want to see you trust the Lord through sickness, through difficulty, through financial hardships, through whatever it is, death, whatever it may be, trust God. And then tell people how good God is and watch Him work in your life.